Rogers library.
Oh, that's fine. I have 16 hours of recording time on there. It's 128 gig SD card. We can be here till tomorrow, so it'll be fine.
So I don't know how to tell you this. We're on the NIU campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the Founders Library
and
basement.
I don't think it's 24 hours.
Here, let me just take a crack at how I'm... Because last time I got most of it, but I left out the fact we were at NIU. 5, 4... It is Appy Hour somewhere. My name is Brandon Goff. We're coming at you from the 71 North Partnership Studio at the Ingenious Bar here at NIU in the Founders Memorial Library. I am here today with our two returning co-hosts,
Joe Robin,
Cam,
and I think we got a special one for him today. This is going to be an app called Solo Learn, and it is a learning app, but I think what's cool about it is it takes sort of this, like, you know, who hasn't downloaded Duolingo? Mm-hmm. Like, it's this thing that we can learn different languages, and it gets you kind of your feet wet with these different topics. And what's cool about Duolingo, actually getting ready for this episode, I was checking out the app, and they had just added, I think, math and music. And I actually have a pretty big background in music, so I actually got to see how deep do these apps usually go into learning about these topics.
This was Duolingo?
Duolingo.
Hmm. Really? Is that new?
It's pretty new, yeah. I think it was like over the summer I was doing this. But anyway, you know, we were looking for apps for the show, and I came across, which, you know, by the way, it's not like super deep, but it's a nice little introduction. Like, for the music, they actually got up to going over a little bit of theory, practicing chord structure. Like, it didn't go like, you know, we're not learning modes and stuff. We never called
a
major.
Intro. It's not a graduate course.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. But it was still pretty cool. It's enough to get you serviceable starting actually making music if you want to do that. And I think the same thing goes for like the other languages it has. I'm trying to learn Spanish and it's helping. Yep. Still can't hold a conversation for the life of me.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn Japanese right now. I've been losing my mind.
That's a hard one for English speakers too. Yeah.
That's especially with structuring too. I think some of the only ones that would beat that out would be like Chinese and a few other Asian languages, right?
I think Mandarin has like three times the number of characters in it.
Hmm.
Yeah, especially if we're talking about like traditional and not simplified.
Yeah.
Right? At one point, I tried to learn some Chinese, and some of those characters are actually really hard to tell apart.
Yeah, hats
especially
off
for an English speaker.
Hats off to the English speakers who can pull that off. That is very impressive.
Man,
it is.
So it's going to be Solo Learn today, and it's basically, the idea is Duolingo, but with programming languages.
Beautiful.
Have they added music yet? Okay.
I haven't figured out how to
music
program.
Music programming?
C equals that C sharp.
C. Oh,
what
gosh.
Would music That's be, so what language would music be programmed in?
It's base 12, so you can do whatever you want with that.
Hmm.
Anything that can...
Mainframe languages.
Maybe.
IBM ZX360.
COBOL.
Are we going to use Fortran or BASIC?
No, we're not using Fortran. We're not going through ancient...
It's not music science, it's music theory.
Yes. Well, you know what? I don't know if Solo Learn... Actually, I've never checked to see if it has like some of those really ancient like programming languages that nobody uses anymore. I never checked that out. I just immediately booted it up, and I've been using this for a number of weeks. So I can't tell you about like the first, you know, when you first open the app and the experience there, because I don't really remember. It's been a while. I am almost, I'm probably about 85% of the way through this Python course. And yeah, it's working. It's really great. But they just go over some main like general topics. Like you'll have, for example, like getting started, and then it goes over things like, what does it mean to write code?
So
What are memory and variables? What is text data? What is numerical data? What is working with variables? And then it's sort of, and then it's got a little quiz. It's just like, here's some of the basics. And then it gives you a little quiz at the end of the module. And then it goes through Seek Going Deeper is the next module. Working with data is the next module. Then
how much of this is free?
Control flow.
All of it.
Oh, my God. And that's a big part of what I have to talk about later is all of the ads, which, like, this is textbook freemium service. Like, it is totally free to download. And if you are patient, you can probably get through pretty much. I haven't seen an area of, like, subject matter, like, material that you wouldn't be able to get to just by downloading it and using it.
I actually really prefer that over a lot of the other models that I saw, because I was looking into some similar apps, and
it's just a lot of videos.
One thing that was really consistent across the apps that I tried was that they didn't really have any ads.
Really?
They tried to sell you really hard on subscription services. Or on buying a lifetime service, but they didn't show ads to try and draw you in.
Yeah, this does that a lot.
I'd much rather, but there's a difference in between trying to draw you in and actively locking a lot of content after getting you sucked into it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So at least one of these was hitting me with notification after notification after notification after notification, just saying, hey, Python's waiting for you.
It's that freaking green bird.
Green bird.
Just like the Duolingo.
Oh, gotcha. It's getting wrinklier by the second. You know the icon? when you haven't been using it for a while.
I just remember he was sick and then I stopped using it.
Mine died.
No.
Yep,
does that happen now?
Years.
Yes, he died. Like, I turned off the data tracking for Duolingo so it didn't pop up like as a, like, actual symbol for the app, like his mood and stuff, the word. But then they started emailing me, like, hey, come back, you know, it's been three days.
So the Duolingo bird is now also a Tamagotchi.
Did they actually tell you that it died?
It just shows a dead bird laid out. Like, it's insane. I'm like,
it's not even the Duolingo bird.
Like, they're gaslighting me.
They just have a pigeon on the sidewalk.
Exactly. Oh, okay. They're just gaslighting, and this is terrible.
Oh, that's kind of funny, actually, but that's an interesting marketing strategy.
You know, the biggest thing that I've learned from psychology is that I would never gaslight either of you. You're way too smart.
Gaslighting's not real. You made it up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not real.
I've never... Speaking of gaslighting... I never heard gaslighting before, like, 2023, I think, or 22.
Really? Like, it wasn't around for... I think it's really got popular, like, what, during the pandemic? Like,
yeah, like, over the last few years.
2021.
Are you gaslighting 2022? Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I asked you a question. What?
Do you guys actually know where that came from?
Gaslighting?
I have no idea.
I could guess, but I don't know for sure.
If you want to, actually, you should probably pull it up because I'm going to get some of this wrong, but I think it's from a play or a movie or something. Couldn't tell you the name. I think it's called Gaslighting. I can't remember what year it came out either, though. 1938, British play called Gaslight. Basically, what happens in the play is, you know, because back in the 30s, they had gas lamps instead of electric lamps in a lot of their homes, especially in Europe. So this is a story about a husband who gaslights his wife. And that's where the term comes from. He does this by, he does something to make her think that she's, husband who uses lies, deception, and manipulation to make his wife doubt her own perceptions, memory, and sanity. It's not telling you specifically what he did, though. It was something to do with the actual lamps, and it would be like, oh, hey, did you remember to turn off the lamps when we shut the lights off? And I think I smell gas still coming from the lamps.
Gotcha.
And then he would leave them on or something, and she would say that, and he would be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it smells fine. You're probably just crazy. And like, that's, you know, doing that to someone, convincing them that they're crazy even when they're not, like, that's
It seems like he was primarily doing it through changing intensity. And it also seems like he was doing it for money, which...
Oh, yeah. He had some awful ulterior motive, and he was trying to... I think he was trying to actually get her sent to an asylum or something for
money
some reason.
Money is the purest of motives.
It's an interesting play.
Husbands in the 30s were insane.
Oh, man.
Were pretty much insane because they could do whatever they wanted.
In the 1930s or the 1830s? Or every 30s?
Ooh, I don't want to say.
There's a reason why humans know that lead tastes sweet, too. Like, we used to do a lot of dumb stuff.
Lead tastes what?
Sweet.
I've never heard that before.
I don't.
I've experienced it, but.
I've never tasted sweet lead.
I mean.
I've only had bitter lead.
Well, like, water would be, like, sweet, and that's how
they could. Why did you have lead?
You'd be able to find out it was. Actually, that's a good point. How do you?
I've never had lead.
I've had
lead. Is this some Joe lore that our listeners are about to hear?
I have
about?
Not had bitter lead before.
I had an issue with pennies.
Issue with pennies?
Wait, that's copper.
That is copper. Yeah. Copper. I don't know if I've ever
tasted lead
because pennies aren't pure copper.
You're not supposed to taste lead. It's super bad for you.
It is.
I have
very
tasted
toxic.
Lead in my water in high school, and it was in the water fountains.
Yeah. Lead was? Yeah. How did that happen?
Don't ask me.
Dirty pipes.
Lead?
Basically.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of lead. There's a lot of lead piping for water.
When they get older and stuff.
Here in town, my buddy just bought a house across town. And, you know, it's a 100-year-old house. The city that NIU's in has been around for a while. And, you know, you buy a house. One of the first things that you should probably do is test your water. And he found out that it was like 10 times the safe level of lead. Which, to be fair, there is no safe level of lead, but there is an allowable amount of lead that is okayed by the government. Same thing. You know, there's a certain number of bugs in your flour. There's a certain number of what... There's always
There's toxic microplastics in the water.
There's certain allowable amounts of gross stuff.
They allow that in.
Everything.
Maybe I don't want any lead, you know? Maybe I want zero lead.
Yeah, I don't want
What do you mean it's okay for me to have a little bit of lead?
You are asking too much.
Apparently.
The government.
Well,
the government.
Big Brother just told me that.
Very soon after, the city did come in and fix that. And like, but that's how they did that, is they changed out the pipes. You also run into issues like, and I don't know why I know this, but if you start crossing metals, oh, now I know it, because of water loops and PCs. But if you start mixing metals in your pipe works, you'll end up with weird amounts of corrosion and all kinds of other nasty stuff besides.
Yes.
And there's,
that is a big issue with water loops.
Sometimes.
If you ever water cool your PC, make sure to check in the metallurgy. Make sure.
Copper and aluminum gets really bad.
Yes, that there's no weird interactions between metals, because you might just end up with leaks.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if we're still an app podcast.
We totally are, but we are also
very off topic.
I would like to think that we're also good friends. We are going to go through some of the things that SoloLearn has to offer, and then we can talk a little bit about use, talk about our likes and dislikes, and then maybe an overall recommendation. I think we'll be ready for that by then. So,
absolutely.
All right. First, let's go ahead, and I'm going to get this open here. Things that I thought were cool, like super notable features. One, they have a points system. So you can use points that you accrue just by completing lessons to do a couple interesting things. You can use it to like reroll, get more hearts if you need to. If you get a question wrong, you lose a heart.
I feel like we're missing a little bit of context here. So you have X number of hearts.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. I should probably just start from the beginning. I thought I was. I guess I wasn't. The way that you start out is you actually don't go straight to a list of like lessons to use. Like I said, very, very similar to Duolingo. You can go to, I think it's, there it is, this little drop down, and you're going to see this. And it gives you a list of, like, all your courses. But they don't just have courses, like, on Duolingo. They also have, like, lesson plans. So, for example, it says there's a, I think it's called a Python developer. Python developer course. This is different from your intro to Python course.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it looks like this one actually goes over, similar stuff. But you can see once you get past, like, what is this? Getting started with Python, going deeper with Python, working with data control flow, working lists. That's all the same as the introduction to Python thing we already saw. So once I start going down further, now we see mixing up loops and lists. Now we get into functions. Now we get into using the functions.
So
handling errors, object-oriented programming. Yeah, go ahead. So it goes much deeper.
So have you yourself, after, you know, getting really deep into it, have you tried to code on Python?
What's cool about it is during the lessons they actually have. I was told that notebooks are like this. I actually don't have a lot of context for that because technically I'm from the business school. I'm not actually a computer science person myself, but so I haven't really used as many of them. But I think this is a notebook like feature where it gives you the option to, it gives you a little box and you can write code in the box and it'll run, like it's running Python in that box, and you can, and this is on your phone, so you can like put in a little Python script and run a couple of lines of code and see if it actually works. So I have gotten to try programming like a little bit already in the app. It's not I don't think it's like super deep. It's probably very limited with how powerful it is. It might not have all of the same, like I don't know if it just covers what's in that lesson and you can only use maybe the functions or like the things in that lesson.
Does it have an IDE sandbox or?
It's basically what it is. Maybe you should tell the people listening what an IED is.
An IED is different.
Sorry, an IDE. Very different thing.
I think an IDE is to prevent people from dying. But, yeah. Or, no.
We're not talking about improvised explosive devices.
It's the other way around. It is to help people die. But an IDE, I believe, is an in-development environment.
I believe
it specifically stands
integrated
for.
Integrated
development environment.
Is it integrated? Yes. I don't know. That's what I thought it was.
I think that's probably right. People just call it IDEs, so I don't remember
the full acronym. It is something development environment.
It is something that allows you to write a program, and it should also be integrated with something that allows you to compile it, which more or less means you tell the computer what you want it to do, and then it translates to computer speak how you do it.
Right, so that the actual, like, it turns it in machine code, like ones and zeros.
More or less.
So, like, it turns it into something the computer can read.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So if it has something like that built in, then you could mess around with it. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've learned,
that's basically what it's like, a little IDE window, but it, or should I, most people know to just call them code editors probably.
Sure.
But.
Well, a code editor wouldn't include the compiler.
I know, but that's why.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. So does it allow you to write your own program from scratch?
No, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. It might just be an editor. You're right.
I think it is too. I mean, I've played around with it.
Does it run the code?
Yeah, it runs.
It runs a code.
Yeah, it just gives you like, it's really step by step, like very step by step. It's not going to just throw you in the loop and tell you to, hey, try to write this yourself, you know?
Throw you in the loop.
Exactly. We love loops. For loops specifically.
Right.
Some people may like
while
loops.
Inefficient.
But that's
okay.
But yeah.
You suck.
They are beautiful. For loops are beautiful, but they are inefficient.
So we're while loopers basically.
Yes.
Hey, I don't do computer science anymore. But
so
good choice.
So actually that's actually an important thing. So I didn't know the difference between a for loop and a while loop. Okay. Before, and now it even gives you like, hey, there are exceptions for this. But, and we don't need to like go into what those types of loops are for the sake of the podcast, but it is worth mentioning that it even gave me when I was going through that lesson, it told me like, hey, here's a general rule of thumb that you can, obviously it's not, doesn't work for every, you know, case scenario, but if you know how many times you want to do something, use a for loop. If you don't know, and you just need it to like keep going until a condition's met, then use a while loop. I'm like, okay, and see, Joe's smiling over here because he's.
Or you can just code them the same way.
Well, this is what I'm saying though. Like, I don't actually know that language. I that's really helpful for me.
Oh yeah, No, 100%. You can make them act the same way, but they are used for different things.
A good question for you might actually be like, hey, or actually the both of you, because you guys both know more about Python than I do. Mm-hmm. So like, is that a good like benchmark? Like, is that a good general rule of thumb to follow? Or is maybe are they missing some nuance there? Do you think maybe we would want to see something else in an app like this when it's giving
technically,
advice?
Technically, they're kind of doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Like Joe was saying earlier, it's kind of similar to C++, and C++ is the first thing you learn probably when you get to college at most universities. That was the first language I learned. But doing the going through the solo learn app and stuff, it's really so it's simplified. It simplifies things for everybody, right?
Right.
Whether you're a beginner, never touched code, whether you're like a master, that's why it has like the different categories for certain languages, right?
They really start on square one, yeah.
Exactly. It really starts at square one. And formerly being a computer science student and testing this app for because I'm learning Python to be able to use it specifically in Blender and animation and things like that, right?
That's right, yeah.
So for me, someone who really has never, I have like, you know, skill in programming still. The only thing I can say about it is for me personally, like I said, formally computer science for a reason.
Well, you're still like, you're still learning like what now? You're just learning C sharp because graphical design and stuff. Yeah. So like you're still, don't write yourself off, man.
Yeah. But like, you know, being in the lecture hall compared to now just having this app just tell me whatever I want to know whenever I want it, it's a little more efficient for me because I'm going and learning something like directly for what I want to do, you know, like. When I was a computer science major, I was trying to do certain things, but I had to get through this and that and this and that just to be able to get there.
You don't have control over your own learning path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But solo learner gives you that, but it's up to you after you learn those basics, after you run through whatever beginner steps on any language or even developer paths and things like that. Solo learner gives you those beginner basics that you'd learn when you go to college or maybe you learned when you were in high school, you know? But it's always up to you how deep you want to go into it. And that's whether you learn on solo learn, go to community college, do it in high school, go to university. You have to put in the work for it. I just say solo learn, really.
And
you can do whatever you want.
Actually, I want to springboard off that because, like, even if you are in college, go and just learn stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not in your major, even if it's not, like, you know,
be curious.
Like, yeah, literally, just be curious. That's a great way to put
go
it.
Go live on Wikipedia.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Me personally, I feel like if I knew about solo learn going into college my freshman year as a computer science major, if I knew about solo learn over the summer before I even started university, I feel like I would have been a better programmer going forward through those would've classes.
Helped.
It definitely would have helped because it gave me all the beginner basics, right? So, you know, I would have registered for those classes. You know, freshman, never went to college before. Then, like, oh, he's teaching me stuff I already know. So now the deeper stuff I could grasp easier. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So, because some kids, they can't get lectured, you know?
Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Like, you'll see people like, and actually, so my buddy, he was getting a art history minor. When he was actually going down to SIU.
Yeah.
It wasn't here at NIU. But the thing that you find, especially once you're in, and I think computer science is one of these. I think art's another one. I think there's a lot of them, especially once you start really exploring different fields of study, where there's just people that have been doing this since they were 5 years old, and they are. It is very intimidating to be in a classroom with those people who really know their stuff, and
absolutely,
you know, and it can be really hard, and it can be very intimidating. And I totally get what you're saying. Like, if, for example, if I were to go, you know, I came in I came back to college with a resume, so I'm in a kind of a weird spot. I can't really talk about that too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I was going to go in straight into computer science, I would absolutely want something like this. Like, go through it.
And I'd say that was my problem. My professors would always tell me, hey, you need to practice more. You need to put in the work. It's like basketball. You're not going to get good if you don't practice.
Mm-hmm.
I never had anything to practice with. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You're more or less required to self-motivate.
Exactly. But that app, if I knew about it a long time ago, I'd probably still be computer science. I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably still be computer science. I'm that confident in the app. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I got you.
Not just solo learn, but with other things too. May or may not end up actually going back through some of those myself as a computer science major. The resources that I've found while trying to find things similar to solo learn are things that I would probably wind up going into in the future and actually using as practice or as review. Because I'll be honest, I'm a senior in computer science, and some of the earlier stuff that I went over, because I haven't specifically practiced it, I've forgotten it. So there's some specific things about objects and about classes that I don't remember off the top of my head and I have to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would say, oh, that's super basic. Some of the stuff that I'm forgetting is super basic, and it would just be really useful to go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
So that would actually help me not feel like a complete moron as I'm going over stuff that I already should have learned.
I've been playing guitar for 16 years, and I still need to practice my scales.
Oh, yeah. A big part of that's mechanical ability, too, right?
Well, yeah, I think that kind of applies to anything, right? Like a great way to get better at it, unless you're at a level of expertise where you know it's not going to help. Even then, there's a warm up. I don't even think there's a point of expertise you can have at something to where going over the basics is not going to be helpful.
At some point, it can be redundant. Hello World over and over again is not going to help you.
Yeah.
But writing a basic program might. But it's something like FreeCodeCamp.
Mm-hmm.
That was one resource that I found that I've seen in the past. Again while going through solo learn.
Yeah, you were looking up a bunch of stuff that was similar, like it was educational, but it was like the other flavors. Like, what does the rest of the market look like? Yeah, I thought that was a great idea. Can you go ahead and talk about that for?
So I looked into a couple of apps. Right. One thing that I was noticing that was generally consistent was that the apps were either super surface level, they were very shallow, because you're coding on a phone, right? Generally, people don't do super in-depth coding on a phone. You've got a very small screen, you've got a touch keyboard. It's not something where you can touch type especially well.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse, that means that the apps are generally meant for the basics, right? So one of the ones that I tried out was FreeCodeCamp. They have a super good YouTube repository of videos. They've got their own website that just has a bunch of tutorials on it. Really awesome stuff. The app that they offer covers some JavaScript, some Python, like an intro to Python, and then some HTML. And it nowhere near goes into the same depth that they have. It's a good app for an intro to things, but it doesn't go into C. It doesn't go into C#. It doesn't go into C++. It doesn't go into Java. It doesn't go into any number of other things. It's basic. Another one of the apps that I checked out was something called Python X, which is an excellent example of the other side of the coin where they're just trying to get money off of you. I think I've received 5 notifications in the last 2 days that it misses me and wants me to come back. And they keep telling me that I got a random giveaway of a 95% off lifetime subscription offer that I definitely did not earn, and it's definitely something that everybody gets, and they want me to pay $35, or I think it was, to get what would be free on Solo Learn,
basically.
And that's how a lot of the apps that you're going to download look.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of them are either super shallow, super basic, or you have to pay a lot. One that looked really interesting was Enki. Which,
can you spell that?
Enki, I believe.
Okay.
Which looked like it was a similar idea to Solo Learn, except no ads, and instead of programming, it's read-only. So you could then pay to get other things like the programming stuff that you get out of Solo Learn and AI help, because everything has to be AI, of course.
Solo Learn has an AI help option that is included with, and that's what I was going to say earlier with the pay structure stuff is it has, that's one of the features is they'll,
is it specifically help?
Not just help. They don't tell you if it's like, they don't tell you what you got wrong. They'll just say it's wrong. Wanted to find out why and learn with AI? Pay us money.
That was what was interesting about Anki is that I believe that they were marketing their AI as also being able to determine what course you need to take next. What lessons you need to take next.
That would actually be really cool because I don't know what to use.
It's a beautiful app is the thing. I didn't get in depth enough with it to know how in depth they get, but they do get farther in depth than FreeCodeCamp does, than PythonX does, and then a couple of the other apps that I looked at do. So if Solo Learn goes more in depth, a major issue that I would have with that is them not telling you what you got wrong, because although if you're coding on your own computer, the compiler would give you a message and say, hey, this is wrong. It's going to be really difficult to tell what's wrong sometimes, but it'll tell you that there is something wrong and then you can track it down.
I actually can't remember off the top of my head because I quit running it because there's very few times you actually get to use the code editor in the lessons for free. I think the first couple lessons let you use the code editor for free, and then after that, if you want to use the code editor, it's another feature that you need to unlock through payments. So there's a solid 20% or so, maybe 15% of each of those lessons that I actually didn't get to do. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. There's about 20 questions, maybe 15 to 20 questions per lesson. There's about two. There's maybe two or three on average as you go along, especially later into the course. I'm just in the introduction to Python course. That's all I'm taking.
Does that impact, like, your score?
I don't believe so. Well, it's not really like a score. It's you get hearts, and if you get something wrong, you lose a heart. And you only get 5 hearts, and they refill back to 5 hearts every 24 hours. If you run out of hearts, you got to refill it with either the points that you accrue by completing lessons, or I don't know. I'm sure there's other things you can do to get points, but I just complete lessons, so you know. It's similar to like your experience that
I'm
you
just
used.
A guy. I just complete the lessons.
I just complete
don't ask lessons. Me questions.
Anyway, but yeah, it's an interesting system. Again, very very similar to Duolingo. It's a very similar thing because like they also have leagues where every week if you have accrued so many points, my chess app has this. You know, if you
chess.com. Excellent.
Yeah. They also have leagues.
Yes.
Everyone has leagues, you know. It's you get points, and you either get into the level up zone, you stay there, or there's if you're in the bottom, let's say like the top 10 get to move to the next league up, the bottom 10 drop down to the lower league, and then whoever's in the middle gets to stay where they are.
I got enrolled in Duolingo. I think I might have gotten higher than that. I don't remember.
I maxed it out, and I remember being on the last day and like battling with some dude, like doing every lesson I could possibly think like. Pass. Like I saved certain lessons that were easier for that last day of the week to try and get tops because there's I don't know if Solo Learn has this. In Duolingo, there is an achievement for ending a league in the first spot in the top league. And it's all just XP based. So it's just like, how many lessons did you do? So I'm sure there's an achievement similar in this, but.
Intro to Spanish 101. What does no mean?
Yeah, I played competitive Spanish. But that's I think that's going to be my overall impression for Solo Learn though is it is really cool. It is a really good learning resource. I feel like I actually learned a good amount about Python for the amount of time I spent in the app too. There's just some ads and monetization incentives that you're going to have to be patient with if you want to use it.
So do you feel like you could get into programming in Python now? Or do you think that you've just gotten better at understanding the code and reading a program that somebody else has made?
Little column A, little column B. I feel like I have an idea of the scope or scale of a project I could do now. I could now because I do have a background in computers, I could probably think of a way to use what I... Undertale was written in almost completely if statements. So, like, I mean, not actually, but...
It is
sort of... So Undertale's a good thing to talk about here because it is kind of famous for having a ridiculous amount of if statements instead of...
I don't think I've ever heard this before.
There's a...
Did he use a single switch?
I don't know. That's too deep for me to answer.
A switch statement is more or less just a confusing looking if statement. That's a series of ifs. No,
I think it was just a thousand if statements. That was just crazy. But you know what? It doesn't matter because the game runs and it works and it's fun. And that's all people care about.
So apparently Undertale has... Oh, it is a switch statement.
Oh, okay.
1,000 plus case switch statement. 1,000 cases. What that would more or less look like is you say switch at the top.
Yeah.
You feed in something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 1,000 cases, each of which has a block of code in it.
Yeah.
So it's like case A, case B, case C. So that would be minimum like 2,000 lines of just the one statement.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess, which is, that sounds fun.
Could we see how long it took Undertale to be programmed?
Well, there's a reason I bring this up. And actually, this I can relate this out to something we were talking about earlier. There's a streamer that I really encourage people to go and check out if they want to know more about taking learning into their own hands. And this is sort of in line with the theme of our episode is, you know how earlier we were saying, sometimes it's hard to find that self-motivation when you're like, hey, this is cool. I want to learn this.
Be really difficult.
I always have said this, and it was actually really cool hearing it from this streamer too. His name's Pirate Software. He's a former Blizzard dev, cybersecurity guy. He's got all kinds of crazy computer things on his resume, but one of the things he does now is I encourage people online and just try and help them learn how to develop games, and I love his philosophy towards really learning anything. And it's just like, get a project going. It doesn't matter how crappy it is. It can be the worst thing anyone's ever seen. Don't worry, you're probably the only one who's going to see it, and even if you are, you're going to learn so much by screwing that up horribly. This is something that Federico says quite often. For those listening, Federico is the guy here at NIU who runs this space that we are allowed to operate in. So we're very grateful to him for that opportunity and the leadership that he gives to a lot of the clubs here. But like,
pretty cool dude.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, what's one thing he always says? Go break some stuff.
Go break something.
Yeah.
It's like the first thing Federico told me,
mm-hmm.
And I was with you, I remember,
mm-hmm.
we're after a Tech Taco, I was telling him about, like, I'm trying to get good and better at certain stuff, and I think it was actually about what I'm doing now, mm-hmm. so it's kind of like a full circle moment, but he absolutely told me, like, only thing I can tell you is go break something. Like, gotta, like,
yeah,
you know, because I was asking him, how do I get better? He literally told me, just go break something.
Mm-hmm.
Just mess something up.
Go, you know how people, we used to call them hideas back in the day, because it's like you'd have to be high to get an idea like this. But yeah. Like, just go and think of something cool. Like, oh man, it would be really cool if, you know, we could make this thing that did this other thing, and like, you know, just go try it, try and figure it out. Like, and anyone listening, absolutely do the same thing. Go and break stuff and figure something out, because that's part of the learning process. The more that you suck at something,
the better you get.
Pretty much.
Whatever you want.
Oh, that's another one. Is Jake the Dog from Adventure Time. The first step towards being sort of good at something is being bad at it.
Yeah, exactly. We love Adventure Time here.
Mm-hmm. For anybody who's either going into school or, you know, partway through it, one thing that I personally think would have helped me a lot,
mm-hmm.
I'm in my last year, right? But one thing that would have helped me quite a bit going into this is going in with the philosophy of, if I learn a concept, I need to apply it to something.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And even if that application was really easy, even if that application was something small, just the act of doing it again would have helped a lot. And that's something that would help quite a bit with SoloLearn. If you want to dig more into this kind of thing, mm-hmm. you can use something more PC-based, like FreeCodeCamp.
Mm.
So
that's true.
FreeCodeCamp is an excellent resource as well.
Yeah, we were getting more into like actual computer apps and or programs. Would you call an application on the computer? But like,
it's still an app.
Can I say what I think about it? I feel like FreeCodeCamp is probably better when you actually plan on applying what you're learning.
Like if you're already mid-project.
Yeah, you can absolutely with CodeCamps, do a display. One screen on the code, follow the video.
Mm.
SoloLearn, just basics. You're bored in the bed, you want to do something productive, there you go.
Gotcha.
You
know?
I feel like that's the difference. Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's the difference. Like, because that's what I used to do. I'd code on the side while having another window up to learn. But that's the same thing I do with animation as well. Learn and do it step by step as they're doing it. You never want to just watch the video. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to get your hands on. Mm-hmm. After you watch the video while doing it, trust me, I promise you, you guys have probably done it before.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to remember that. I feel like we all would recommend it.
Absolutely. Honestly. I would
definitely.
For all the stuff, there's even games in here. Look, I didn't even get into these.
That's another part.
There's Bug Hunter, there's Code Challenge, there's like little mini games you can play within the app, which is pretty unique to this. There's actually an entire tab just for interacting with other members of the community. Yeah. If you need help, if you want to work on stuff, like it's actually really cool. You can see like these people are doing web development. These people are doing Python. These people down here are doing, you know, and like you brought up on like the free code camp stuff. I can definitely see some of the similarities. But yeah, this has a whole social media aspect to it. There's a leaderboard that I was talking about.
Yeah.
You had me at games and competition.
Yeah. What I can say about SoloLearn for me to kind of end it off myself compared to other apps that are supposed to help you learn code, I'd say SoloLearn actually more cares about who's using their app. You know, like they care. Not everybody has the money to do this and do that. Some people want to code and they can't afford college. They can't even afford community, you know, but they have a phone.
CS50, you know, so 24-hour video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's Harvard's intro to computer science course and it's completely free.
Which I watched and that actually did get me pretty better than I was at code. I still hate it.
There are a lot of really good resources out there, but a big part of the difficulty is being able to direct yourself, which is one area that college helps out with quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Because while a lot of the information that I'm learning, most of it is online, and you could probably get it for free, frankly, actually being able to sift through all the information that's out there and giving yourself a path through it is going to be very, very difficult. And that's something that SoloLearn would help you with quite a bit, especially if they're introducing you to a potential project to work on.
I mean, yeah, if you go back, like that's why I said project, like just do something, go and break stuff. Like that whole thing we were on is like, you know, that's how a lot of people, like I'm completely self-taught on a couple of things as opposed to like what I'm going to school for now. So it's kind of cool seeing like, oh, this is the learning path for something if you're doing it on your own. And this is the learning path structured. And by structured, I just mean that someone hands you a project. So one, you're already risking. It might not be something that you will enjoy and you want to do. Yep. But then the value proposition also expands because that's kind of a mixed bag. But then you get to do it in a room full of experts.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have access to a room full of experts that can help you along your learning journey.
Yeah, full department.
Which is, I think that's the, gosh, that's the stuff I would be capable of now. If when I was learning like guitar or, you know, this audio stuff, when I was like learning how to like do computer hardware, you know, like if I was actually in a computer science program and I could like talk to a professor about ideas and like, hey, I'm interested in XYZ. How do I learn out more about that? I did that over with the College of Business where I'm at now. And that's how I learned. That's how I got started using R for data analysis.
Yeah.
Which R is a data language that you're not probably not going to find in SoloLearn. But it's a very niche thing, mostly used by like people doing research. Yeah. But
that's one last thing I'd recommend, or not even recommend, but I'd give to SoloLearn is it might help you find what you want to do. Genuinely, because
that's a great point.
I was in computer science. Literally, I only did computer science because I wanted to design video games. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I took some of that coding skill, you know, to be able to design and things like that. But I didn't need to go through the 3 semesters of computer science at all to be where I am with animation. I'm going to be completely honest. That's why I said if I had SoloLearn, I could have absolutely just went straight to what I wanted to do and what I wanted to learn.
So what it's kind of sounding like is regardless of where you are in terms of coding ability, in terms of what languages you know, if there's something that you find even remotely interesting about computers or about coding or about programs in general, it's probably worth downloading it in the first place.
Absolutely.
Going through it, have fun. You don't have to necessarily complete anything. Go through it, see if something stands out. Do a few lessons. Have fun with it. Just go in with the mindset of learn. Just be curious. Just do something cool.
Yeah.
And SoloLearn seems pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I thanks for coming out again this week. I know that, Joe, I know that you did a lot of work on the follow-up for this, checking out other things. I appreciate the both of you guys being here and doing this, and to all of you at home, I want to thank you for joining us again, and I think that just about does it. Anything from you guys?
Have some happy.
Go out and learn.
Yeah.
Curiosity!
Yeah! Woo!